very famous story today that we just read, Cain and Abel. And we all know how many inspirations that have come with this story. And also, in this story, is so rich that there are a number of very primal issues, topics, that human beings struggled since the beginning of our civilization. So there are many in this story, and obviously, we cannot touch them all. So my focus today with this story is about one word that's used for the first time in the whole Bible here. Anger. This is the very first time in the whole Bible the word anger is used. And this is very first time in the whole Bible when a person kills another person because of anger. So somehow anger is such an important topic or important emotion that as a human we cannot avoid. Yet, that could be the cause of killing somebody. In this case, brother. If you read the story carefully, what did Abel do to make his brother Cain angry? He didn't do anything. It was the due season, so each of them brought the sacrifice to their God, and they offered it as they supposed to. God chose one, God did not choose another one. Abel did not do anything. And in here, even God explains to Cain that it's your fault. Simply saying, yes, somehow he couldn't accept it. This story could be read and I believe explained many ways. But one way to understand could go with these names. Their names, Cain, Abel, has meaning. And the name Cain could mean possession. Possession. And the name Abel could mean breath. 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 Or it could mean number of things. Now, I'm not linguist, so I cannot really tell you exactly how they all connect. It could mean nothing. Or it could mean a son. Or it could mean breath. As a breathing breath. So, somehow, when man or when human beings were kicked out of this paradise, they had possession and breath. But possession killed the breath. You know how that is important? In the sense that God created everything. God owns everything. Man don't own anything. The first thing they had was possession. They want own something or everything. If you read breath in the chapter 2 of Genesis, what do you read? In the creation of man, God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils, and they become living beings. So this story could be read in such a way that one of the first disconnections that we made with God was somehow we wanted to possess things that does not belong to us, even if it causes killing the actual connection with God. And this could be caused by
an emotion called anger. And because of this, now it says, the earth, the field is cursed. In a symbolic way, earth means mind. So when anger devours us, that's what happens. And anger is such an interesting word. In Hebrew, it could mean a kindled, or wrath, or hot, or anger. So actually, in the Bible, the same word used to be anger here is more used as kindle. You know what it means to kindle? Lighting something. Kind of setting the fire. So anger is more essential, probably, to humans than just the way we think it is. Maybe that's why God was saying to Cain that you need to master it. It is lurking at your door to devour you, but it's your job to master it. Bible is such a wonderful book. And the more I read about it, the more I see that God really knows what we are. And if you read this Matthew chapter 5, that's when and where Jesus is really preaching out whole layout of his message, starting with how to be blessed, and he teaches about we are the salt and light of the world, and then teaches about the law and prophets, and he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And when it regards something that's negative, the first thing he mentions is anger. Now in here, he says it in two. There are two different ways about anger. One that you have in you against somebody else, or the one that you cause in somebody else that is against you. And what Jesus is saying is that both of them are not good. And especially his emphasis is more on the side that in here it looks like the anger we cause in our brothers and sisters. Now asking you a question, when was the last time you were angry? And how did that go? I mean, does anyone here has an experience that by being angry you get something good as a result? We don't. We all know that. We all know that being angry does not result in anything good. Or making somebody else angry. How about that? Have you done that? I did. So, how did that end? Making somebody else angry. Most likely starting with your mother and father and siblings and your spouses. Right? Your spouse. So, how did that end? Not good. Yet, do we know how to manage it? That's probably the key question that we are all asking. And I have seen so many, probably, pamphlets and books and even movies that treat this anger problem. And I only know one solution. You need to treat it before it starts. That's the only solution so far I know that actually works. Because anger is like a fire. When it's just kindled, you may be able to just wrap it up. But if you kind of feed a little more into it, and it becomes a flame and big fire, easily it devours us. And the reason that I was saying God really knows what we are by emphasizing the danger of anger in both Old and New Testament is that we are emotional beings. Despite all our wishes and our very persistent declaration that we are rational beings and we're intellectuals, we're logical beings, at the end, we are very emotional beings. And that's how we are born, that's how we are programmed, or more essentially, that's how we are created. Love is an emotion. Joy is an emotion. Delightfulness is an emotion. All good things are emotions. And all bad things are also emotion. Anger, hatred, depression. These are all emotions. I haven't seen a single person who is actually going really downfall simply because of logical conclusion about something. Have you seen? I haven't. That's because the heart is not having something that's needed. And that's an emotion. So we are emotional beings, and anger is a very powerful emotion that we have. And we say anger, and it's very negative. Why? Because when we say anger, it usually results in something that's negative, like a violence to or against self, others, or both. But emotion that is somehow behind anger may not be that much negative as it is. Like passion, like zeal. And we see a lot of passionate people. And they can appear like angry, but they are not angry. They're just passionate. There's a different feeling about that. But somehow, something that burns inside, that charges us this ultra-powerful feeling, yet when it devours our rationality, it results in something bad, and we call that anger.
Is there anyone that has never been angry? We're all honest. That's good. We can be angry at many things, and especially at this age. Well, if you look at this economy, politics, what's happening in other side of the world, what's happening in this very city, country, state, many things could cause us to be angry. And sometimes anger, being angry at something that is evil or bad, may actually serve you as a courage to stand up and to fight against something that is not right. And we don't really call those people angry people, though, do we? The freedom fighters, the real ones, we don't really call them angry people. Or the soldiers who are defending their country and fighting against their enemies, we don't call them angry people. Yet, when we use this word anger, or being angry, we all know what we're talking about, basically. And Bible is very clear. In that sense of anger, is the best outcome, basically, is willing to wipe out everything that's standing before you.
That's what anger is. When it's all burning inside, it wants to burn everything. And until everything is burned out, it doesn't want to stop. In a way, that's why Jesus is saying that when you are being thrown into prison, you have to pay all everything until the last penny to get out. And the advice of Jesus is very clear that you better want to come into terms before you go to the judge. Yes, he's talking about many other things with this teaching. When Jesus is teaching something, it's never that simple to say, this is only this way to understand it. But when we simply think in terms of what anger and what Jesus is trying to tell us, is that when we're dealing with anger, probably the best thing is to ask ourselves two questions. One, what do I want to do with it? When you're angry, what is it that you want to do with it? Two, do you like it? Do I like it? I believe, is there anyone who likes to be being angry? Probably not. But yet, if you talk to those professionals, maybe it's called a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they will share with you that some people either consciously or unconsciously like to be angry. They will not admit it, but they like to be angry. Same is, there are some people who actually like to be depressed. There are some people who like to be saddened all the time. Well, also there are some people who like to be happy all the time. Being in a certain emotional state could be addictive. The funny thing or interesting thing about this emotion is that it could be addictive. If you are somehow accustomed with a certain emotion, it makes a big mark in you and you crave for it, even if it's wrong. That's why I bet most or all religion teaches about developing good new habits. Spiritual training, in a big, just a simple nutshell, is about having a new habit, the habit that is good or productive, instead of going back to the old way. So, being angry. We have all been there, probably done that. We all know its damage. And its end is almost the same as willing to kill somebody. That's what Jesus is saying. If you have an anger in you, it's same as already kill the person. Yet, the reason that we come here, the reason that we read this book, the reason that we pray to God is, there is other way. There is a way to tame it. There is a way to make it into a different way. And anger is an emotion. Emotion is a power. And all power essentially is from God. There is saying that hatred and love is just the same thing in a different way. It's about the same passion, the same intensity. But hatred is more selfish, and love is more selfless. When being angry, I say two causes. There are many things that would make us to be angry, but two main things I see is self-righteousness and self-shamefulness. Either one causes a huge degree of anger. It's both is called self-righteousness. I make myself righteous. I'm right, you're wrong. Why the world is wrong? I have to fix it. They don't listen to me. Makes me more angry. Self-shamefulness. I'm damned. From the beginning, there's nothing good at me. Who cares? It's better maybe everything has to be destroyed. Again, both of them kind of pours out this to the end what? Let's burn them up. All of it. However, the teaching of Jesus is trying to tell us that if we can grab its head when it's just starting, like just kindled, and we can see what it wants to accomplish, and really think about it. Really think about it. Because this initial emotion that we later identify as anger may have a good thing. Maybe your spouse was treating you unfairly. You want to address it. That's the first fire that you have. But instead of simply calling your spouse and talking about it, you just build it up inside. And build it up. And slam the door or do something crazy. And your spouse has no idea what you are angry about. Or what's the message you want to talk to. And usually, a lot of times, many times, that's the case. But when it's in you, you know it's in you. We know it's in us. Ask the question, what do I want with it? And that's the moment that we need to pray. The reason that God is mentioning anger in the chapter 4 of Genesis and Jesus saying about anger almost in the beginning of his ministry is that it's very important. We know that. And also, it's very important. God knows that we have it. And God is willing to help us with it. Only we are willing to help ourselves. How do we help? Again, we know when it just starts. Anger comes like a fire. The first word you may say is, it's unfair. Or it's not right. How could you do that? Or how could such a thing happen to me? That's the first sign. Hold it. Think about it. At best, pray about it. And ask God to guide you, to lead you, to give you wisdom. Because, believe or not, God is watching you all the time. Do you believe that? God is watching you all the time. God is listening to you all the time. God is willing to help you all the time. But when was the last time that you were able to pray in the middle of your anger? Probably none. Because when anger devours our mind, our logic's gone, our rationality's gone, we don't pray. And we know that what anger left behind, the mind that's hurt, my mind and the people's mind. Like God telling Cain, because of you, the land is cursed. Because of anger, our mind gets hurt. It does not yield anymore as it's supposed to. You need to work harder to make it to go back to how it's supposed to be. God's advice in the whole Bible, what's kindled in the beginning is not a bad thing. We just need to master it. Be the master of your emotions. Why? That's how you're created. You can do this. And that's, there's the key to open joy and delight, the ones that we want to have. So may God bless you all in your fighting against your own anger. Amen.